Today, how thousands of staff became stuck on cruise ships around the world. In April, we made a podcast about the Zaandam cruise ship, which found itself stranded at sea for weeks as country after country wouldn't allow it to dock because of the spread of COVID-19 on board.
Unfortunately, four of our fellow guests have passed away, one overnight.
We spoke to Guardian journalist Erin McCormick, who along with her colleague Patrick Greenfield had followed the Zaandam's journey and reported on its landing in the US.
We were so excited to see these last passengers getting off in Florida after being trapped on the ship for weeks.
They watched as other ships around the world managed to fly passengers home, which Erin thought might be the end of the story.
And then we realized that they would let the passengers get off, but the crew members were stuck on these ships.
It is estimated that 60 to 80,000 crew members are now stranded at sea on board cruise ships. And for the past few months, The Guardian has been reporting on their stories.
My daughter is going to be turning 3 next month, which I'm very desperate and I'm so unhappy that I won't be able to be there.
Just being in the dark and not knowing what's going on, a lot of the crew were just not sleeping, just really mentally drained.
From The Guardian, I'm Rachel Humphreys. Today in Focus, trapped at sea, the crew staff unable to leave their ships.
I actually started because of a girl that I met from South Africa. A lot of people in the company are South African, and I guess she's a salesman because she sold me on it.
Last October, Will Lees from Canada was hired by a gallery to work as an art director on board the Norwegian Star cruise ship.
Basically, we have a small department of about 6 people, and we host art seminars, we host live art auctions, and we basically sell all the art of the artists that we represent.
So you were sailing near South America when the coronavirus pandemic began to affect the cruise industry. What happened to you?
I think it was March 13th. We heard in the morning that our upcoming cruise that was supposed to be departing the following day was going to be canceled. A couple hours after that, it was basically all future cruises and the whole cruise industry has come to a halt. So it was everything normal, relatively. A few hours later, out of a job, essentially.
Passengers on the Norwegian Star managed to disembark in Chile, but Will and the rest of the 900-strong crew weren't allowed to get off. While the boat kept on a skeleton staff, the majority of them, including Will, were laid off. Very quickly, life on board began to change.
At first, we had some of the amenities open for us. We had the gym, we could even go into the arcade, things like that, because it was confirmed that we had 0 cases, 0 symptoms on board, so everything was good. But then that started to change. They implemented some protocols where they closed the gym, they didn't let us use a lot of the amenities. They drained the pool. And that's when life started to get a little more monotonous. So the transition from feeling safe on board and life being pretty good to going, okay, I really want to go home now, was a pretty quick transition.
What was the plan for crew members and what happened to you?
The initial plan was to leave Chile, go up through the Panama Canal, and make our way across the Atlantic to the ship was supposed to go into dry dock to be refurbished in Rotterdam. We got to Miami and we weren't allowed to disembark because the American government had certain, and the Center for Disease Control had certain regulations essentially saying any flight you had to get on had to be direct out of the United States to your country. And they disembarked and sent home a lot of the crew is Filipino, a lot of crew is Indonesian and Indian. They sent them a lot of them home, obviously doing the largest groups first. Then I was scheduled to go home, and I actually had a flight. And then the Center for Disease Control in the United States put through another ban, which did not allow cruise crew members to fly commercial from anywhere in the United States. So if we wanted to get home, the cruise companies had to organize a private charter flight. Me being the only Canadian on board at that time. There was obviously no way I was going to get my own private jet. So I became very aware that I was going to be on for a little while. And that's kind of when I started going, oh, no, this could be much longer than just a couple of weeks.
Erin, we've just heard from Will about how the CDC's decision stopped him from getting off in the US. Why was it difficult for cruise companies to follow the new guidelines?
They put in a legal requirement that required the cruise ships to be responsible for getting the crew every step of the way home, including right to their door in whatever country they live in, and made them criminally liable for other people that might have been exposed along that path. So cruise companies complained that this was horribly expensive and they couldn't sign off on this legal requirement.
But it's not just in America where ships have been unable to disembark their crew. People are stuck on boats around the world. Why?
Well, it seems like there's been layer upon layer of red tape. So, you know, first there is, you know, will the country where the ship is currently sailing allow the people to get off the ship and get onto a flight? Then is there a flight? And finally, many home countries are making it very difficult and in some cases completely shutting the door. The island nation of Mauritius has basically closed its doors to crew. And just recently, I heard a recording from the captain of one of Celebrity's ships saying that the country had agreed to let crew come back in, but the requirements are so stringent. They're going to let 100 people per day fly in, and it has to be on Mauritius Airlines. And it cannot start until the middle of June, and thus it's going to take at least a month to get everyone back. And then they're requiring that every person, the cruise line has to pay $1,300 for each person that comes back. They have to quarantine them for 14 days, and they have to pass basically 3 COVID-19 tests showing that they're negative. And so the logistics of getting these people back into these countries are almost impossible. I mean, it's really going to be a lot of red tape.
Someone who has found themselves in limbo because of the Mauritian government's tough restrictions is a man we're calling Perry. He's been stuck on his boat since March without pay, and until recently had been confined to a cabin after coronavirus was discovered on board.
There was two guests which was tested positive to COVID-19.
What has it been like to just be in your cabin for that many weeks?
Without lying, I would say it was just a nightmare. You can imagine you cannot be in contact with anybody. Your breakfast is being delivered in front of the door. There's the fact you're on your bed, your bathroom, and the balcony. That's all you know for 2 months. And that was the toughest part, I think, for this isolation.
When you describe it like that, it makes it sound like you've been in a prison for the past 2 months. Is that what it's felt like?
It was just like a jail. At least in jail, sometimes you have people coming to see you from time to time. It's here, nobody come to see you, so you're completely on your own. Day and night, you keep on thinking how your family is managing without you at home, and in case something happens, how they're going to deal with the situation. Because for myself, I'm the only man in the family where I live, so it's only me, my wife, and my kids. So that was very tough and was making life becoming more and more difficult on board, because it doesn't allow you to sleep. You keep on thinking the whole day. Your thought is just with them back in Mauritius. And here, you don't feel good, and you are like helpless. You cannot do nothing.
And Perry, do you have any idea when you might be able to leave at this point?
Honestly, no idea. As I know, since our government is not allowing any chartered flight in our country, so most likely we're not going to be leaving soon from the ship to go back home.
Erin, Perry is clearly in an awful and desperate situation. Have you heard other stories like his?
We have heard so many stories and so many different heartbreaking situations going on out there. We, you know, heard of our ninth reported suicide. There have been hunger strikes on some of these ships where they're so impatient to get off and they're so tormented by what they're going through trapped on these ships. In some cases, there's been unrest aboard the ships where, you know, the police had to be called on board because it sounds like people started like throwing around furniture. And we have a source, Krista Thomas, who's a former cruise ship employee herself, and she's been running a Facebook group where she's been kind of gathering the stories of these people. And, you know, she's telling us about people who are pregnant aboard these ships, and they're now approaching like their eighth month of pregnancy. You know, she's had people who have family members at home who are dying of cancer, and their husbands or wives can't get off the ship to go see them.
What is the mood like, and how are you able to all talk to each other when you're stuck in your cabins?
So what we did with a few friends that we know each other from before the isolation, and we have their numbers, so we created a group on WhatsApp. So from time to time in the morning, we chat with each other, we share our problems, we share our sorrows, our worries to each other. Everyone share their problems, their happiness also when they've been able to talk back home. Some of a colleague which lost their close one and relative back home also, this also we've been sharing together. So that was very hard. We try to keep each and everyone more up because you can imagine in a moment like this, it's very easy to have a very moral down and you can do things that you're not supposed to do. So we try to keep in touch with each and other to make each and everyone to stay stable and to know exactly what we are doing.
Back in Miami, Will was facing an uncertain situation. The US wouldn't allow him and his colleagues to get off, so the Norwegian Star sailed to the Bahamas, where the crew were divided by nationality onto different boats.
A Norwegian cruise line has a private island off the Bahamas called the Great Stirrup Cay. So we arrived there to about 8 or 9 massive cruise ships just bobbing in the blue water of the Caribbean. And we had to do a huge multi-ship transfer all via the little tender boats that usually take the passengers from ship to shore. And that's how I got onto the Epic.
What was it like on board the Epic?
We got there, they tried to assign us dirty crew cabins, some with stains, some with non-functioning toilets, no running water, sheets that had stains that I don't even want to question what they are. A lot of them, no windows, very dark. We all basically went back to the reception and said, we know you have passenger rooms available. They told us they didn't have any available. Eventually, they relented and gave us passenger cabins.
You had now been stuck at sea with no pay for well over a month. It must have been very hard to stay positive in that situation.
It's tough because, again, it's that the not knowing. You know, we're not stupid. We look and we go, okay, they've got the obligation of trying to get us home, but they've also got to look out for themselves and go, what can we do to minimize our outgoing cost so that the company doesn't go under? And some of that was leaving us to sit in the ship in Miami Port because they own their own terminal there.
After 12 more days in Miami, Will was transferred again, but not to a boat that would take him home to Canada. Instead, he found himself sailing in the opposite direction, to Europe. Will was promised a flight from Barcelona, but the ship was not allowed to dock. Another flight cancelled, and Will was getting anxious.
At that point, I just went, is anybody going to use common sense and just let us go home?
In desperation, Will began sending Erin voice notes about his experience in the hope that media coverage of his situation would put pressure on the cruise company to act.
My name is William Lees. I'm 31 years old from North Vancouver, Canada. In a few days, I'll be not really celebrating, but passing my 32nd birthday on board. Today is the 72nd day on board since the cruise industry shut down. One of the most difficult things, without a doubt, is just a constant feeling of helplessness, that there's nothing that we can do. This is the extent of what we can do, is reach out to the media and try and stir up some information about our story.
With the boat unable to dock in Barcelona, it sailed to Genoa in Italy. By now, Will was losing hope of being able to fly home from Europe. But one day, while he was reading on deck, he was given the news that he had been desperately waiting for.
The captain, he did an announcement kind of congratulating us on following the protocol, working as a team. He said, the port of Genoa has given us authorization and clearance to disembark crew. And there was a big cheer throughout everybody that was outside hearing the announcement. And then I got an email from my company that said, we're working on a flight to get you home.
The moment that you stepped off the ship, how many days had you been at sea?
The day that I stepped off the ship was day 82. Yeah, so that number will always be, I don't know, special or negative to me, but yeah, 82 days.
What did you do when you got home, Will? What was the first thing that you did?
I fell onto my knees, onto my stomach, and just laid in the grass in my garden for about 10 minutes, completely soaked because it had been raining, but I didn't care.
After this, Will might be off the ship, but the future is still very uncertain for Perry.
So the company just sent a memo, which is called a potential startup of one of the ships in the Mediterranean.
While Will has been able to get home, Perry is still stuck at sea and doesn't know when he'll be able to disembark. While I was speaking to him, he was contacted by the cruise ship with an offer of work on board from July, in anticipation of them opening to customers in August. Missing his family, he told me that the news has left him with a dilemma.
But you can imagine already 3 months, no salary, and I still have to survive till 15th of July without salary, which is going to be very, very, very tough, especially you have a family which is relying on this money back home. And I know also if I go back home also, the fact that I've been working in hospitality, I don't have much waiting for me at home because we live on tourism in Mauritius. So I don't know what to do right now. I'm a little bit... not confused, but I would say running out of option.
I mean, it's a very difficult situation. And do you worry that reopening the boat to customers while coronavirus is still around is putting the health of those on board at risk?
I wouldn't like to sound selfish, but I wouldn't say it's safe. But I think being a fact that I'm a seafarer and this is what I live on, so... honestly, I wouldn't mind if with all security measures they can put ahead to welcome the guests back again. Yes, it's unsafe, but if you don't take the risk, I don't know how I'm going to cater for my family. So I have to take some risk somewhere, somehow, so I don't have any option.
Will, how do you feel about cruise companies advertising holidays to customers again?
I think it's ridiculous. I think, how can they be thinking about bringing in more money and doing voyages and like the cruise industry and their company is back to normal and everything's good and life should be enjoyed when they've got people on board that have spent so long doing nothing, missing out on their lives, missing out on their loved ones, the births of children, the death of family members, things like that. And they're thinking, oh yeah, let's market that the world is great and it is, but that everything's back to normal and you know, we are a fantastic company that you should follow and spend your time with, when you look at the crew and you go, how have you not got your crew home yet?
Erin, what have you learned from reporting on this story about the cruise industry and how it operates?
You know, one of the most amazing things to me is how unregulated this all is, and how these cruise ships sort of slip between the legal regulations of any country. So the ships are registered in what they call ports of convenience, and often it's the Bahamas, where there aren't many rules. And then the companies themselves are registered in different locations. You know, these are not the kind of countries that impose environmental or safety regulations.
Clearly, this is a complex situation. Cruise ships have been struggling to disembark people during a pandemic, but at the same time, tens of thousands of crew have been stuck on board boats for months without pay. Is anyone challenging this?
There have been numerous lawsuits filed against the cruise companies on behalf of these crew for the suffering that they've experienced. And those have been filed as class action lawsuits. I don't think they've been accepted by the courts yet, but there will be lots of legal action against the cruise companies coming up.
Will, what do you think your experience says about the cruise ship industry?
It shows that it's obviously a business. And the people who are making the decisions in boardrooms see not the crew on board for the faces that they are, but they see them for numbers. Okay, this cruise ship has 2,300 people on board. X amount of people from this country, X amount of people from this country, and that means that per day we're spending this much to keep them on board. Also, it's going to cost us this much to repatriate them home. There are still people out there stuck on these cruise ships, and countries are not letting them go home, or cruise lines are not doing all they can to repatriate them.
Thanks to Will and to Perry for speaking to me for this episode. As we record this, Perry is still on the ship, although he and others on board are now allowed out of their cabins. Thanks also to Erin McCormick and Patrick Greenfield. Do read their brilliant reporting on this story at theguardian.com, where you can also listen to the podcast we made back in April with Erin called Zandam, On Board the Coronavirus Hit Cruise Ship. This episode was produced by Elizabeth Cassin and sound design was by Nicholas Cox. The executive producers are Nicole Jackson and Phil Maynard. We'll be back tomorrow.